Today on Doomed! The next net neutrality. Does it involve domain names? Ladies and gentlemen, today on Doomed with Matt Bender, we're gonna get even more technical. We're jumping right into the technology sector on this episode, more so than we even usually do, to discuss what's looking to be the next net neutrality fight, especially if you're a content creator on the internet. Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest is me. Let me pull myself up on the YouTube feed. It's been a while since I did an all Matt Bender episode with no guest. And to steal a line from good old Sam Cedar of the Majority Report, some housekeeping notes. Which one is it? I can't remember. It's been too long. But some housekeeping/cleaning notes before we get started here and jump right in. Well, what better, you know, I can't think of a better day to do an episode that's all about me. On an episode that's going to be released on August 23rd. I mean, we're doing this tonight. It's live tonight on YouTube and Periscope and Facebook and Twitch, August 22nd. But by the time the podcast gets out there, it's going to say August 23rd on iTunes. For those of you who don't know, August 23rd is my birthday. So happy birthday to me. You deserve this episode, Matt. Thank you. But more importantly than this episode coming out on my birthday is what I'm doing tomorrow. And I teased this all out to you guys last week. But I will be on the Majority Report tomorrow for Casual Friday. I believe Michael Brooks is hosting tomorrow. It's just a Michael Brooks show tomorrow. Well, I mean, I'm sure that Matt Leck and Jamie and whoever else that other guy is, they're going to be there too, which will be fun. But yeah, I believe Ben Mankiewicz is going to be on the show as well. So that should be a good show tomorrow. Make sure you all tune in. And again, most of you, by the time you listen to this show, it'll be tomorrow. So make sure you listen to that show today, on Friday. And for probably even more of you, you're going to listen to this podcast after the show is done being live. So go back, finish this show first, then go to the Majority Report archives and listen to the August 23rd Casual Friday episode. So there you go. Today's show, I'm a little bit under the weather, so to make sure I'm 100% for this episode, and to make sure I'm 100% for the Majority Report tomorrow, I'm probably going to cut this episode a little bit shorter than usual. I'm going to go way too long anyway, but I'm probably going to go 30 to 40 minutes here, and we'll do the members half another day. We'll do like a fun members half sometime over the weekend or maybe next week, just for members, just for you patron subscribers. And speaking of you patron subscribers, being that there's no guest waiting on the line, let's get it all out of the way here. And again, you could support this show by going to patreon.com/mattbinder. It really helps. It's a delightful birthday gift for me, wouldn't it be? Another birthday gift for me, if you are not financially able to subscribe, which is totally cool. Don't do it if you can't do it financially. But you can do this for my birthday. Subscribe to youtube.com/mattbinder. I'm trying to build up the YouTube channel. What a great birthday gift it would be. Once again, I don't know how many times I've said that. But yes, youtube.com/mattbinder. Could also follow me on Twitter @mattbinder. Could also follow me on Instagram, which I should really start posting on. But if you all start following me there, I'll start posting there. Instagram.com/MattBinder. Facebook, search Matt Binder. You'll find my page. You'll probably also find my personal profile. You could like and follow both if you'd like. What else? Twitch.com/MattBinder. Just go through it all for my... It's my birthday. Just go through it all. Follow, like, subscribe. Just do it all. Also on iTunes, Google Play. The podcast is available at DoomedPod.com. And without further ado, these are the people who make this show possible by financially giving to this show on Patreon. Yeah, Patreon.com. At patreon.com/MattBinder. Abigail T, Adam Q, Alan B, Andrew H, Ari R, Benji, Bobby M, Champagne Kami, Chi, Christine H, Colin R, Dakota R, Dan M, Dank Uger, Dave K, David Z, Dragon Slayer, Floaties, Froz K, FTW All Day, Greg D, Hockey Games, is that it? It's cut off a bit, sorry. Hockey Game Enjoyer, there we go. Ian Curtis J, Jameson Test, Janelle A, Jasmine H, Jeff K, Jonathan B, Joseph R, Katie S, Katz, Causal, Kyle, Lisa D, Max W, User Me, Melissa M, Michael B, Michael J, Michael M, Mr. Danks, Nicole A, Namde Net, Romina O, Ryan Left Is Best, Scott R, Stephen S, Struggle Session, TM, Tamney G, Thaddeus A, Tina M, Tom G, Tom M, Ty W, Will P, Utopian, and Zarin. Now, you'll notice that, for sure, the Patreon subscriber base is growing. And so there will be a point eventually where I will not be able to read every name on every episode. So now is the perfect time for you early adopters, I guess. If we're doing a tech episode, let's go all tech terminology. You early adopters should get in now at patreon.com/MattBinder to ensure your name will always be mentioned. So there you go. We're actually at the, obviously nowhere near some of the larger Patreons, but we are, I can officially say, at the biggest this Patreon page has ever been. We are over halfway towards the original goal, which has never been met. But like I've said before, I'm terrible at promoting the Patreon. So maybe if I get on top of that, and if you guys enjoy what I'm doing, we'll finally get to that goal, and I'll be able to do some more YouTube stuff. And yeah. So let's get to today's episode. That's all out of the way. You know, I never do that at the top of the show, so that means you're in for it. The rest of the show is all story now. It's all the day's topic. So let's get to it. So I covered this for Mashable, and I think it's been really undercovered, actually. In fact, the domain registrar I spoke with for the piece, who's been fighting to basically keep this from happening, or at this point now, reverse what could possibly happen, had said to me that, you know, I don't think there's been a mainstream outlet that's covered this. It's been all, you know, within the domain name industry, not even really, you know, mainstream tech sites have covered this until I covered it. And it's not quite exactly the next net neutrality, but it's definitely net neutrality-like. And it's definitely a net neutrality-esque fight. And that's because what's going on with the domain name extensions, the main general extensions, your .coms, .net, .orgs, .info, the main extensions that have been around since basically the beginning of the internet, is going, what's going to, I'm going to get into what's happening, but what is happening is going to reverberate. And I think it will affect, it very will, may well affect every sort of content creator that wants to basically own their own content. You know, especially in this day and age where social media has taken over. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, Snapchat, Tumblr. All these, and even when you talk about, you know, you go ahead and you start writing on a hosted site that's free to use, you know, like WordPress.com. You know, those companies basically have ownership over what you put on there. Your pictures, your videos, your writing. Anything you put on those sites, you know, the terms of condition and conditions for each of those sites are different. That, you know, for some you might still technically claim ownership over it. For others, you know, those social media sites can use whatever you write or post on there in their own advertisements or for their own purposes. But at the end of the day, if one of those sites go under, you have no say in that. I mean, we saw it just this past year with MySpace, where basically MySpace lost, I believe it was millions of old songs that were posted on MySpace between the early 2000s and like the 2010s. You're talking a huge chunk of like history, bands that are now big, you know, singers and artists that are now big, who posted original demos on MySpace, and now that's just lost to time. So what you do, what many people advocate you do, is along with having your social media pages, is that you host your own website, and of course with that, you would get your own domain name, and with that, you basically have ownership over your own content. You call the shots for, you know, a domain name as it is today is about, you know, anywhere from $8 to $15 a year for a .com or a .net or a .org. And, you know, hosting, you would get a hosting for as low as $5 to $10 a month, paid hosting. Obviously, as your website grows and you get more traffic, that rises. But to just basically have a place to post your own stuff, and you know it'll always be there as long as you pay that monthly fee and that yearly fee, you know, that's all it takes, and that's fairly affordable. Now, what's going on requires basically a history lesson. But I guess let me get to what's going on first of all. So basically, ICANN, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, and I'm looking because I know what it is in my head, but I always, you know, when you're saying it out loud, what ICANN stands for, you sort of switch out some of the stuff sometimes. But anyway, ICANN is basically creating new contracts for those generic top-level domain extensions. Again, .com, .net, .org. And I'm going to repeat myself a lot because it's going to be tough to follow if you don't really know the domain name industry. And I'm trying to keep it as basic and summarize this all for you. So it's, you know, good for all the lay people out there. So ICANN has to create new deals for some of these registries that run .com, .org, and .net, and also .info, .biz, etc. And they're basically getting rid of the long-standing price cap. Basically, as long as ICANN has been around, there was a price cap in these contracts with these registries. Now, domain name registries are the companies that run those extensions. They're not GoDaddy or name.com or Namecheap or domain, wherever you get your domain name from. Those are registrars. So, to break it down, the registry runs the domain name extension, .com.net.org. And the registrar buys it from the registry at a wholesale price, $6, $7. And then that's why they're able to sell it to you when you go to register your domain for $8, $9, $10. And the reason they're able to do this is because there was a price cap on those registries for the wholesale price. And they weren't able to raise their prices any more than 10% a year. You know, when we're dealing with $6 wholesale price, 10% a year is less than a buck a year in terms of raising the price. And they didn't always even raise the price. So ICANN is getting rid of that price gap. And you might be thinking, okay, what's the big deal? And let me explain this to you now. Now, in an age of you know, where the internet is basically being just, you know, the idea of the internet, the open and free internet that we've known for so many years now, how it's been, how it, you know, how it should be, the information highway where anyway can any, you know, I'm being corny here when I use that term, but it's true when you compare it to TV or radio, anyone can put content out there, anyone could learn whatever they want. There's no network basically owning the airwaves. There's no expensive licensing fee to run your station or whatever. It's all very entry level. Anyone can do it. And, you know, net neutrality under the Trump administration has been repealed. And for those of you who don't know what a net neutrality is, I hope if you listen to the show, you know what it is. But if you don't, that's okay. I'm not gonna make fun of you. Just a little bit. What the fuck have you been doing? Come on. Get out from under your rock. But okay, I'm done there. Net neutrality is basically the idea that all internet traffic should be created equal. And the worry is that eventually your internet service provider is going to create a tiered system where certain websites, certain traffic, certain services, certain platforms will only be available to people who pay, you know, the basic fee, for example, the first tier of service, the basic plan. And then if you want to watch, you know, maybe YouTube or Netflix or whatever, that's a more expensive plan. And if you want to, you know, watch in a premiere service, for example, say, you know, Vimeo has better quality because they are sort of like the place for the filmmaker or the true artist to post their work. Maybe that will even cost a third level of pricing, et cetera, et cetera. And also, it will also go back and make it harder for, on the other end of the of net neutrality, it'll make things harder for startups. You know, Netflix may be able to pay the internet service providers a fee to be part of that basic plan. But, you know, if you and me decide, hey, we want to create a competing service, we can't pay that fee. So your internet service provider, Verizon, AT&T, Spectrum, Comcast, whatever, they'll decide, hey, you can't pay the fee, you're going into the premium service, so if people want to watch you, they got to pay the premium for the premium package. That's basically an example and a summary of what net neutrality is trying to stop and what the internet could become without net neutrality. And now, on top of that, we see the issue of the consolidation of the tech companies. You know, you have Facebook buying up WhatsApp and buying Instagram. You have Google controlling YouTube, Android. Apple runs both the iPhone and the App Store. It's very much a monopolistic situation with a lot of these tech companies. They're double dipping in both areas. You know, for why this is a problem, let me give you an example. Apple creates a calculator app. You want to create a better calculator app. You go to the App Store, you type in calculator. Apple promotes their calculator app up top. Now, they might argue that, you know, the reason they do that is because their calculator app is the most popular. But one of the reasons their calculator app is the most popular is because their calculator app is already pre-installed on everybody's iPhone. That's an example. And so you have that. You have all these issues. And so this sort of last bastion here is for you to go ahead, if you want to cut off, you know, these social media companies, you go ahead and you host your own content. And that doesn't get you away from the net neutrality issue. But, you know, we'll deal with what we can where we can. Deal with it, you know? And so let's get to the history of ICANN, because this is where it gets ironic. After I just told you about net neutrality and the monopoly situation that is the major internet tech companies today, ICANN was actually formed in 1998 to prevent the monopoly that was occurring with the domain name system. In the early 1990s, the government decided it actually wanted to privatize the domain name system. That's, you know, basically the system that makes sure that the domain names actually run. It creates the domain name database. It makes sure that when someone registers the domain name, it's actually registered to that person. Only that person has access to it. It keeps their information in the whois so people can find out who actually controls that domain name. And, you know, the government ran it in the early 90s. You know, the internet was created by the government. Shocking if you're a free market enterprise type of guy. But yes, the internet is a government-funded entity. Was a government-funded entity, I should say. And so, basically, the government had hired a company called Network Solutions to run and manage that system. But when it decided to privatize it, when it wanted to actually, you know, spin it off out of the government and let businesses be created from it, this was in, you know, there was no big, you know, internet wave yet. This was way before the internet boom, the dot-com bubble. This is the early 1990s. Most people didn't even have AOL at this point. So Network Solutions, who was already in this business, ended up being the only bidder for the contract to run the domain name system. And so Network Solutions basically had a monopoly over the domain name system for all of the 90s. And this ended up creating a problem because Network Solutions decided to charge a large fee for the domain names. You had to register a domain name for 2 years at $100 a pop. I don't know, and maybe now today you don't think that's that much money, but again, look what I just said before. Domain names today, $8 to $15 a year. Here you're being forced to pay $100 for 2 years. And on top of that, you know, there was no one else in the business. Network Solutions could have decided to charge really whatever they wanted. So as this, you know, the worry of antitrust concerns started to come about with Network Solutions running the whole business, ICANN basically forced Network Solutions to separate the registry, the company that ran the domain name system, from the registrar, you know, the company that sells it to you. And this move actually led to Network Solutions dropping their price because they sold it. The registry version of Network Solutions sold it to the registrar Network Solutions at a wholesale price. And that was because ICANN came about and forced them to do that. ICANN is a nonprofit organization that the government basically empowered to oversee the internet and the domain name system. And in early 2000s, Network Solutions sold itself to a company called VeriSign. And VeriSign bought the company for $21 billion. And since the early 2000s, both .com and .net have been run by this company called VeriSign. Now, this is where ICANN came in handy and helped break up the monopoly even more, because Network Solutions also had .org. And VeriSign also controlled .org in the early 2000s. But as part of the deal for ICANN to let VeriSign continue running the .com and .net domain names when the contract they had purchased when they had purchased Network Solutions, the contract they had taken over expired in 2003. To renew that contract, I can force them to sell, not even sell, excuse me, give up the .org domain name. Basically, we'll let you keep .com and .net. You got to let us auction off .org to a different company so not one entity is running the three major domain name extensions. VeriSign agreed, and basically a nonprofit organization came about and started running the .org domain name extension. Now, this is where things come to today, now that you know that little bit of history. And this is why it's ironic. The nonprofit organization that runs .org, the .org domain name extension, is called the Public Interest Registry. And the Public Interest Registry's .org contract ran out this year. And ICANN said, cool, we'll renew it. No big deal. But as part of this renewal, ICANN decided to remove, like I mentioned earlier, the price cap. So now the Public Interest Registry can charge whatever they want to register to sell the registrar, a domain name, which in turn will make the registrar register the domain name to you for more money. And the thing here is that ICANN opened up a public comment period, where basically they said, you know, before we agree to these terms with Public Interest Registry, which runs .org, we'll let people who partake in buying and having domain names, let us know how they feel about it. And I can tell you right now that it wasn't well received. There were more than 3,500 comments submitted by members of the public to ICANN. And basically, 98% of those 3,500 comments were in support of keeping the price caps, which is what ICANN took out of the new contract. You had a group of nonprofit organizations, which included the YMCA, the AARP, NPR, and dozens of other well-known organizations, saying, hey, we are a nonprofit entity, and we are going to struggle. We have concern here that, you know, we have a very limited budget. We know how much our .org domain name that we've built up and established as the site for people to come and donate to us and get all the information they need to know about whatever, you know, whatever their cause is. We have, you know, we don't have that much money allotted to that. And if the registry decided to just raise their prices to whatever they want one day, we're screwed. And basically, you remember maybe when Ajit Pai and the FCC opened the comments to people, and an overwhelming number for net neutrality, an overwhelming number of comments said, we want net neutrality, and they went ahead and repealed it anyway. Well, the same thing happened here, once again mirroring net neutrality. And so the public registry can now charge whatever they want. And ICANN also went ahead and did the same for .biz and .info and the registries that run them. So now there's nothing stopping .org, .biz, and .info from charging whatever they want. Which, you know, if you've built a website on those domain name extensions and you can't afford the new pricing if they decide to up it, then what are you going to do? You lose all that marketing, all that branding, whatever you've put into it. And again, I'm not talking, you know, this terminology makes me sound like I'm talking about major corporations or something, but I'm really not. Again, these are nonprofits. These are a lot of small content creators, people like you, probably, you know, if you just have drawings, run a webcomic, whatever, you know, this is going to affect you if you have a domain name and those extensions. Now, before you're saying, you know, I have a .com, I have a .net, this isn't going to affect me, so really, who cares? I got news for you. This is going to affect you because there is a strong feeling from people who have been following this. And after I've done the research for this, I agree from the sources I've spoken to. This was all to get people ready for the eventual price cap drop in the new contracts for .NET and .com. Because, lo and behold, would you know it, VeriSign's contract for .NET expires in 2023, and their contract for .com expires in 2024. And now, ICANN's argument is that we are just taking the contract we have with the new generic top-level domain names that came out in 2011. That were approved in 2011. And we're just making it for everybody. It's universal now. The same contract universally across the board. Now, for those of you who don't know, in 2011, ICANN approved new generic top-level domain names. Basically, anyone who wants to start their own registry and create their .whatever, can do that. The fee is around $180,000 up front, which means, yeah, you and me are priced out. And then I believe it's about $25,000 a year to maintain. And that's why you see people with, you know, crazy .whatevers. You know, there's .pizza, .ninja, .guru. You see major companies also getting their own .google, .amazon. You're going to see them start using it a lot more too, I guarantee you. And from the very beginning, those price caps did not exist for those registries. So ICANN's thought process is basically, what's the big deal if it's the same for everyone now? But here again, here's the problem. And the nonprofits pointed that out when they said, you know, we built a brand on those domain names, knowing how much it was going to cost and how much it was going to rise each year. Those extensions were around since the beginning of the internet. And there were no .whatevers. The contracts, since the beginning of ICANN's existence, made sure that those companies could not raise the price more than a certain percentage each year, which kept it, you know, fairly affordable for everyone. On top of that, all those domain names are essentially, for the most part, created equally. Because there's no more price cap, on top of just raising the price for a basic registration for those domain names, those registries could eventually say, hey, we think sex.com, poker.com, video.com, socialmedia.com, whatever domain names they want are premium domains. And we're going to charge a specific rate just for that domain name. Because the generic top-level domain names already do that. So, you know, if you, you know, want to register video.com and no one's registered it. I mean, obviously that one is, I'm using an example here. That one's obviously registered. You know, you could go register it. It could be available. And VeriSign is going to say, hey, we know that's a premium domain name. That's going to cost you $50,000 a year to register that domain name. I mean, that's a real good domain name. A company that comes across later and can afford it could basically make sure that any other video competitors who are startups are screwed and can't get that domain name. So that's the problem with the whole idea of ICANN thinking it's okay for it to all be universal now. Now, on top of that, obviously, another problem is that 98% of the 3,500 comments said, we want price caps, and ICANN basically said, no, that's all right. We're going ahead and removing the price caps anyway. So now that you know .coms and .nets are in ICANN's site to remove the price caps there too, you're probably now understanding how this is going to affect the entire internet. You could possibly see a raise in prices that ruins the established destination for your favorite podcaster, your favorite YouTuber, your favorite nonprofit organization could be affected well before anyone who runs a .com and .net. Because at least those people have till 2023 and 2024. And it's, in a way, going to create a tiered system. Now, I received comment from the CEO of Public Interest Registry, who said that they have no plans to increase the current price for .org, even though they could, because their contract without price caps is now in effect. And he said that those concerns by those nonprofit organizations are inaccurate and unfounded. And he also makes the point that they had the ability to raise prices by 10% each year under the former contract, and they chose not to raise the prices in the last 3 years. Now, I had mentioned that earlier, that they didn't always raise the prices. Cool. I commend them for keeping the domain names affordable. But again, we've heard the same from Verizon. We've heard the same from AT&T. We've heard the same from Comcast, Spectrum, whoever your internet service providers are. They all have said, when they say, we don't like net neutrality, and they fought against it before it was repealed, they said, listen, we're not going to do that to you. And of course, you can't trust them, because there's been studies done that have shown already that these companies, these internet service providers, are already throttling video from Netflix, from YouTube, from Hulu, from Amazon Prime Video. Your Skype video calls are being throttled. And the promise from them was that we're not going to do this unless there's, you know, we have to do it because there's congestion. And these studies have taken the congestion of, you know, peak internet traffic times into consideration and have still found that they're throttling these sites anyway, which means your video is not at the quality they're offering you when you're paying for your internet service provider's packages. And so, you know, again, this is where this issue mirrors net neutrality as well. Eventually, if this ends up as net neutrality, the repeal of net neutrality is looking, what you're going to see is a tiered system where companies that can afford it are going to buy up the expensive domain names. Sometimes, I bet, you're going to see companies that, or creators or individuals or small businesses who can no longer afford certain domain names after they've built and established that domain name, you're going to see them let it expire, and those companies who can afford it are going to register it and take advantage. And people looking for one site are going to be forwarded to another. And so that's what's, in my opinion, makes this a net neutrality yes fight. And I think, again, I don't think it's on the level of net neutrality, because net neutrality directly affects consumers as well as creators and the content providers. This sort of second-handedly affects the consumer and only directly affects the creators and the content providers. So I think it's, again, not there at the net neutrality extreme, but I still think it's certainly very close to a level below it in terms of, shit, this is going to change the internet as we know it for the worse. Now, what can be done? Now, one of the registrars, those companies that actually register you the domain name, Namecheap, is actually really doing a good job in fighting back, because they, of course, they realize it's going to affect them, because if the registry charges them more wholesale, they're going to have to push that cost onto you. And what they did at first is they encouraged people to comment, which obviously didn't work. But now they're going through the ICANN system set up to basically dispute it. And they have already filed a request for ICANN to reconsider. And if the ICANN board rejects the request, now the ICANN board is made up of international individual people all over the world, honestly, even though it's a U.S. government, basically a U.S. government empowered nonprofit entity, its members make up people from all over the world. It's an international board. Now, if ICANN rejects their request, there are ICANN bylaws they could go to, which Namecheap's CEO has told me they're willing to do, even though they hope it doesn't get to that point. There's a third-party review process. There is an investigation by an independent independent entity. And then there is a mechanism that would allow ICANN's International Advisory Committee to organize, and then they would file a dispute against ICANN. Now, basically, what this would all do, we would all escalate this to a higher level. And, of course, hopefully, the idea is that as this fight continues and draws out and escalates, there would be more press on this. But so far, this has really gone ignored. And, I mean, I get why it's been ignored, to be honest. As I'm saying this to you, and as I'm sort of stopping myself and trying to formulate a new explanation, you know, I hear myself in my head what I'm about to say, and I'm like, eh, that's not going to come across as easy to understand for most people. That's really, I think, what they hope is going to happen here, because this is not as, and again, even net neutrality is confusing for people. This isn't even as straightforward as that. You know, net neutrality, you at least explain, your internet service provider, the company you pay for your internet, wants to make it so you might have to pay more for your favorite video streaming services, maybe. This is basically even more jumbled and you know, confusing. So, I guess in the simplest terms is, ICANN wants to make it so a company that runs the domain name extensions, basically the company that has power over pretty much .coms make up something like, I think it's like somewhere 70, 80%. I think it's even more, honestly, if I'm being kind here. To saying how, you know, it's only 70 or 80%. Of all the domain names are .com names. And then a huge portion after that is .org and .net. So what you're looking at here is that one day your favorite website that isn't owned by a mega conglomerate might no longer be able to afford their domain name. And all those backlinks that make them easy to find in Google, all those links you've been sharing on social media, those might one day be all broken. Literally years of internet posts just no longer sending people to the appropriate articles, posts, whatever. And basically you're just going to have an internet that's even more so for the few and less owned by the many. And then they'll be forced, obviously, to continue posting their stuff just strictly on social media companies, which in turn will have complete ownership of whether how long they stay online. You know, all it takes is for Facebook to decide, fuck, we want to change how our URL structure is or how our linking structure is. All it will take one day is for Twitter to basically, you know, Twitter could suspend your account. Facebook could suspend your account. All your content gone. You don't have control over that. So I hope, you know, this wasn't, you know, too confusing here. And I hope you guys were able to follow along. That's where it's at. And I hope ICANN reconsiders for .org, and I hope that reconsideration, changes their mind for the renewal that comes up for .com and .net in a few years. Because this is not good when you consider on top of everything net neutrality, the tech monopolies. You know, it's just one more issue that makes this all more difficult. All right, folks, that is the show for today. Let me go through some quick comments. I'll give you freebies a small taste of what the comments are. Happy birthday, bro, says B-Trouble. Happy birthday, Matt, says Sean Zone. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Grim says, if you make Matt answer the 914 phone call tomorrow, you can hear my dulcet tones wishing you a happy birthday. Thank you. Joel on Facebook says, Matt on Majority. Hell yes. Best episodes have Binder. Thank you. Happy birthday, Broham, says Lefty on Periscope. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate all the birthday wishes. I truly, truly do. And so I'm going to save my... Oh, Kennedy says, oh my God, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. My birthday is August 23rd. Thank you. I will be on the Majority Report for my birthday. Once again, tune in. And next week we'll have a guest. It was fun doing a All Matt Binder episode of Doomed. I hope you enjoyed my coverage of this slightly confusing yet I think very important issue. Read my piece in Mashable. It'll probably be much easier to digest this all if you are able to read it, perhaps. If you're one of those types. Politics Understander says, my plan is not to not wish Matt a happy birthday so I can call MR tomorrow. All right. Thank you, Politics Understander. Grim says, Binder birthday show is tomorrow. Yep, that's right. See you guys next week with a guest, with a regular style Doomed show. Brian says, great seeing you in your element, Matt. Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right, guys. A lot of comments. I will leave these all for another day. We'll do a Patreon-only show in the coming week or two. Doomed back tomorrow. Tomorrow. Majority Report tomorrow / today if you're listening to the podcast / Casual Friday, August 23rd if you're listening to the show in the future. Boy, I'm making this really confusing for you all. See you all next time on Doomed. Go! You got it going on. You want to set a life, but it